with 10 draft picks, who's showing, and how do you view this draft as an opportunity to kind of mold this roster more toward what you want?
Well, I think it's a very good roster to begin with, you know. So, we've obviously got issues to address, you know, and John and I were talking about this last night, but I don't think you ever stray away from making sure you're getting the best football players, because I know being doing this for a long time and watching guys draft positions, all of a sudden you may not be, you know, it's okay if you're battling through this position and maybe you're not perfectly set here if you're very strong at this spot. So, but the key is always getting the best players you can get, you know. So I know John will be committed to that and always has been. So we'll see. I mean, anytime you get a chance to get your hands on 10 guys, you know, that's exciting. So hopefully we got some guys that will help us very quickly. Sound all right?
Yeah, I think you're doing well there, Coach.
How much longer I got, man?
You still have 20 minutes.
We got 20 more minutes?
Can I talk in a cup of coffee, or are you scared to leave?
No,
I might say something wrong.
Yeah. I know Mike will take good care of you.
Yeah. How about changes at Denver? I mean, is it the whole atmosphere, culture?
You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody last night, Things have changed as far as facilities and, you know, the town and the size of the organization. But those are things that have changed in football just in general. Amazing thing is there's a lot of things that haven't changed. I mean, my secretary was there when I was a player.
Oh, really?
Christy was there. I mean, the people in the building. I mean, just and I think that's what really has made Denver such a consistent, successful organization, that Pat and his family are very loyal people. The organization's has been extremely loyal to people for a long, long period of time, and you see that family atmosphere in that building very consistent. So, you know, Mike, to me, that's something that's extremely impressive when I walk around the building and see the people still involved. Fred Fleming's still there, you know, Keith Bishop's there now. So, you know, I look at all those things. And being in this business for a long time, I think that is extremely important. There's some people that like a lot of change, but yet there's people like them who have done it very consistent for a long time and have done it very well. He got one in while you were gone.
We expected a playoff game against the Patriots last season. How close you guys were to win the game and then see what they went on to do. What did that say about how close to that team?
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. As a coach, you know when all of a sudden you're in position to get it done, and, boy, we were playing really well. I can just speak for the organization. I mean, I think that John does a tremendous job. He's a hell of a football coach. They're very well built coaching-wise. Dean Pease and a lot of experience on their staff. Ozzie is the most impressive man I've ever been around in pro football, and I've been around some good ones. And to watch him work, to watch him work in the draft, to watch him handle the football team, and to watch him work with John, I can sit here all morning. I can't say enough. I mean, you can see why. I just talked about Denver being successful, but you can see why that organization is very, very consistent. Where are you from?
Washington.
How are you? You don't cover the Ravens, though. You're,
no,
must
I got
be red.
I come up once in a while.
Yeah, six to say. I didn't see you. Yeah, yeah.
When you went into the offseason and knowing how close that team was, I mean, obviously your inclination was to stay.
Yeah.
Was this going to be, when this opportunity came along, how tough was that sort of that choice?
Oh, this opportunity, though, that wasn't tough for me because this is where I grew up. It's right. my football home. I had made a decision that I was going to stay, and had actually already went out and celebrated that with my wife. Okay, we're going to stay, and, you know, we're going to take a break here, but crazy things happen in this league. But no, as far as the opportunity for me to come back to Denver and to do what I'm getting a chance to do, and all that was a no-brainer for me. And I described it that way to John and to Ozzie because I had told them that I wasn't going to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden this happened, and I said, "Hey guys, this is a game changer for me." And they understood. They were great. That was very easy.
Did you talk with John Elway? You guys are close friends. I mean, was there any concern that one way to screw up a friendship is to go into business and work together, you know, that type of thing?
No, I think we both understand that. I mean, we we understand. I mean, we were, you know, as players together, I mean, when you're around the battles every day and the competition every day, obviously this is another level of that. We talked about that before we got going, and but it's about respect. We both have a job to do, but if we don't do it well together, we're not going to be successful. So I understand that, and you know, I have total confidence in him, and that's what's so it's exciting for me, because I know how good a job he does and how important it is for him to do that job for Mr. Bolin and his family. So no, I understand that. That's part of what we do. It's part of football. There'll be a lot of battles, I know that.
I'm sure you've always already talked about Peyton today too. Lost your voice, but how much, you know, normally it's up to a player to adjust to the system, to adjust to the coach's way of doing things. With Peyton, you know, obviously having done things a certain way for a long time.
No, you're right. No, I'm the one that has to adjust and find out how I'm going to mesh everything together. No, you're exactly right. And that's what we've been doing. And, you know, I told Peyton that from the start. You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, well, now you got to run this offense. And no, we're going to run his off, what he does best. And but it's going to be the Broncos offense. You know, we're going to mesh things together. And obviously, I love to run the ball, love to play pass, I love to do those things, and so there's going to be a commitment there. But yet there's 17 years of investment in what he's done better than anybody, and we're not going to run away from that. So
as you went through that process, and you sort of found, you know, what was the common ground? How much of a change was?
Really, not that much. I don't think that. Really, more verbiage than anything. You know, we teach in like an eight or nine day installation period. And, you know, as far as that hasn't changed, we were able to bring them both together and still do the same. It's not like we added three more days of teaching because we have so much more. No, as we intertwine it together, you know, it's going to be taught the same way. And, I think it was pretty easy. Other than the verbiage, which I carry around, I actually have a little packet in my bag, and the things that have changed for me, verbiage-wise, that I've got to get on the same page with him. I'm constantly reminding myself every day as I'm sitting around saying, okay, this has been this to me for 20-something years. Now it's going to be this because that's what he calls it. So those type of things. But that's kind of rejuvenating too, actually, as a coach. Yeah, I like that. It's nice to have something new going on.
Hey, Gary, from a personal standpoint, getting an opportunity to be a head coach again, how different does it feel this time? I know there's familiarity because you're going back to Denver.
Yeah.
Think back to when you first became head coach of the Texans to now.
Probably the biggest change. Somebody asked me that the other day. I think the first time you get an opportunity as a coach, you know, I was raised under Mike Shanahan, and a lot of my views and stuff came from that upbringing and how I was going to go about doing things. Obviously, I've been doing it now for a while. I did it for 8 years in Houston, and then I was under a great coach last year. I think just maybe the library you're pulling from as you do this job gets bigger, you know. So it's expanded. A lot of my views have changed on various things. So as you go about it the second time, there's a lot of things you're going to do different just through experience and a lot of things that I'll bring with me through my experience in Baltimore last year.
You say your views have changed. What's the most significant?
I don't know. I don't know that I could put one thing on it. I think different ways you go about your daily practice, different ways you go about your meetings. You know, I mean, I don't think there's one thing that you say, boy, I think this is the most important thing. I think it's a combination of things. And I think every team's a little different. And I like the staff I put together. I know that I'll pull from them a lot more maybe than I did my first time around. I think I have, through my experience, I've learned that I need to do that better this time around.
Now, let me just get this clarified a bit. When the coaching cycle first ramped up, you weren't particularly interested in seeking a head coaching job. I mean, is that...
No, I had been contacted by some people and had made a decision that I was going to stay in Baltimore, yes.
Why did you...
Because it was Denver, because it was where I was raised, where I grew up. That's why. It was just a special place to me.
But the idea at first not to put your name in the hat.
I don't know. I was just responding to opportunities that were out there at the time and people that were interested, and I wanted to respond to that quickly, and I was very impressed and enjoying with what I was doing, so that was just the way it worked out.
I was Latimer's seems like a decent piece to, as you go forward here. You're talking about the young players. People are expecting more from him as a rookie. I know there wasn't a whole lot of room.
Yeah, he came by the office the other day. Mike, I thought a lot of him coming out. I spent a lot of time with him in Baltimore. We were very interested in him going into the draft, so I knew him very well. And it's funny, I told him the other day when we were in Baltimore, I said, hey, we may not end up with you, but our paths may cross someday. And he walked in my office and said, hell, I didn't know it would be this quick. So,
yeah.
But, no, he's a fine player, and he showed a lot of flashes, me watching him practice. And a lot of times being a rookie can be a little overwhelming. And, you know, I think as the year went on, he showed that he's got a lot of skill. And I think it's time for him to make a big jump, you know, not just a little jump. I think it's time for him to make a big jump. And, you know, how we end up being built at receiver, you know, I know Wes is still free and there's some things still to plan out. But obviously his play time is fixing to pick up, and it needs to pick up. And so we need him to make a big jump in year two.
You were talking about he had a visit with Baltimore last year before the draft.
Yeah.
How much talk has there been about Roby at safety? How does that?
That has come up. You know, here's how it comes up. You know, we're going to get our best players on the field. And percentage-wise, last year, he did not play a whole lot. You know, he played nickel and those type of things. I think when you look at our division, and I don't know that I'm 100% right now, but we're probably going to play a lot more nickel than we play base defense. But when we do play base defense against base teams that play a lot more, you know, base offense, you don't want him standing there on the sideline. So he's a fine player. And so the talk is, you know, getting him some safety work and having the ability for him to play the safety position. He's a physical player. So it's just something, basically, it's us saying, hey, he needs to be out there somehow, some way. And if that's how we get him out there full time, then that's something we're going to address. So I don't want to do too much with him that we take something away from him. But at the same time, you know, he needs to be a guy playing, you know, 70 to 100% somehow, some way as a football player for our team. And if that's the way we have to do it, then we'll do it.
It's not a bad problem that you've got so much depth at corner, I guess.
No, that's a very, very nice problem to have.
Yeah,
especially in this league where people throw the ball so much nowadays. And you're probably really playing nickel defense probably more percentage-wise than you're playing base right now on any given year, you know. So it's just the way it's working out.
You're from Chicago. You have JD and
Yeah.
Did you know those guys from before?
I know Joe D from my playing days, actually. And so I played for Coach Reeves, and obviously Joe's, you know, Dan's son-in-law. But and then I've known him as a coach, you know, through his years, his time in Dallas and various places he's been. I know a lot of guys that have coached with him. I've got a couple of guys that I brought with me on the staff here, worked with Joe, Atlanta, various places. Reggie's with me in Houston. Known Reggie for a long time. Hell of a coach, hell of a teacher. He and Wade, the combination of he and Wade, have been very successful. So, you know, that's my background with him.
When you talk about playing nickel more than half the time, does that make this 3-4 versus 4-3 discussion fans like to have kind of irrelevant?
No, that's a great point. Nobody's ever asked me that, but no, you're right. I mean, if you're a 3-4 team and you go to nickel and play a 4-man front, you might play more 4-man front than you do 3-man front during the course of the year. So, no, you're exactly right. You got to have a lot of guys that can kind of swing, so to speak, and put their hand down. And, you know, DeMarcus can put his hand down, can play up. You know, Vaughn can do that. So, no, you're right. That's part of the deal nowadays. So it just kind of depends who you're playing. You know, you start with your division, so you know exactly how you're going to be played in the division. So you're probably going to play a lot more nickel with San Diego and Kansas City. Outside of our division this year, we're playing – what do we have, the AFC North and the NFC
North.
So I know the AFC North, you may play against a lot of base. You may play a lot of 3-4. So, you know, you never know.
You and John have talked a lot about young guys. Cody or
yeah.
Matt, Mike. The the library you said earlier, head coach's library, how do you connect with the young guys to get the most out of them when they're trying to adjust? You know, they're competing for spots, but
well,
you need them.
I think every player is different. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that I coach a 15-year veteran different than a rookie, but I think how you go get the best out of each one of them, you have to figure that out. I mean, I trying to get confidence, and when you you take a guy like Cody, and I can just imagine, and Cody walks in the huddle with Peyton Manning and day one as a rookie, that's probably a pretty big task, you know. And so it's your job as a coach, knowing what you have there, athletic talent wise, to calm him down, to gain his confidence, to put him in positions to be successful, so that, you know, how close can he get to, you know, where Peyton's been throughout the course of his career from a confidence standpoint, from a, you know, with his teammate standpoint. So I think all players are different from that view, but you got to mesh them all together. I mean, that's the key, and you know, be as good as you can be. So I don't know. I got to get my hands on them now. We'll see where we go, but. I know there's a lot of talent there, and he needs to come out of the season catching a lot of balls and making a lot of plays for our football team. So somehow, some way, Rick and I have got to get him in position to do that. Did I answer your question? I don't know if I answered.
That was great, Coach. Thank you.
How you doing?
I just wanted to ask you, Troy Vincent has talked about trying to streamline the rule book.
I'm sorry?
Streamline the rule book, whether it's making it simpler or just rewriting it so it makes more sense. It's something that Troy Vincent seems to have taken on. I mean, is that, in the overall scheme of things, how important would that be? How much impact do you make on games and responsibilities coaches have and officials and all that stuff?
I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I mean, when you've been in this league for so many years, obviously there's so many things that are second nature to you from a rule book standpoint. But I think what you see nowadays is obviously there is a lot of change year to year, and a lot of you look at all the proposals that are going in this week. So I think keeping up with all that change, that would be a very good idea. I'm very impressed with Troy. I told him yesterday, I've known him for a long time, but listening to him talk to the league yesterday was extremely impressive. He's got a great perspective, not only from a league standpoint now, but as a ex-player standpoint. I think he does a great job. Very, very impressive.
As someone who's been involved in football your whole life, when you first became a head coach, did you have to study the rule book, or was it sort of...
Oh, yeah, I don't think you ever get away from... You don't ever take those things for granted. Yeah, I think you're always... Now, do you open it up and go page,
right.
But I think you're always reminding yourself of situational things, and when you practice and how you're going to handle these things. Nowadays, you have analytics guys, so the league's getting so much bigger and growing. We actually hired an analytics guy in Mitch Tanner. It's the game is growing. You got to keep up with it, and you can't assume that you're okay. So, yes, you're always.
How much do officials help head coaches during games in terms of what you can challenge?
They're very good, and especially the experienced guys, the guys you've been working with for years. I mean, some of these young guys are very good too, but it takes a little while to gather that relationship with them, where they might talk to you a little bit more, or maybe not talk to you as much as the guy who's been doing it for a while. So those relationships are very important, and usually you're going to get a crew at least twice a year, and so you're going to see those guys. And through the course of your career, you may have seen them many, many times. So I think that's very important.
Do